Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on learning from our mistakes when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership and private property and private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? That bonds are the exact opposite to private property? That public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights, and permits are the exact opposite to private business? And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, zoning, planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out our substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that we can do, and the first step is to inform ourselves as to the legal alternatives that we have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this thing that we call private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about private business. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, why don't you do that right this minute while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about this thing of learning from our mistakes throughout life. The older you get, the more mistakes you're going to make, and throughout life, you're going to learn from those mistakes. And it was Henry Ford, I believe it was, that said that you're going to learn more from your mistakes than you're going to learn from your successes. And boy, isn't that true. My old daddy explained that to me. He said, you're going to learn by the school of hard knocks. School of hard knocks. And he said, that's the best way to learn, no doubt about it. But he said, it's a god-awful hard way to learn. The alternative that we have is called revelation. Revelation. And that's what God does in the Bible. He's revealing to you information that you couldn't otherwise know or not easily found out. Now, for instance, if you're talking about clean and unclean meats, you know, religious people, they get kind of uppity about this. It's really no big mystery. In two chapters in the Bible, Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, God goes through a bunch of animals there. And he says, don't eat pig. He says, don't eat fat. Don't eat blood. And, you know, don't eat alligator. And don't eat things that don't chew their cud and have cloven hooves. And don't eat fish unless they've got fins and scales. And so on down the line. Now, a lot of times people look down and say, well, that's kind of dumb. Chinese eat monkeys, and Filipinos eat wharf rats, and, you know, they seem to get by all right. Well, maybe they seem to get by all right, but have you noticed how much sickness and disease there is in the world? And the eating of unclean food, not just talking about animals now, but unclean. I'm not talking about dirt and the pepper now, you know, or fly larvae, you know. I'm talking about unclean meat or white flour and white sugar and, you know, foods that, hell, you know, are bad for you. They tell you that right there in Reader's Digest, for crying out loud. So don't sit there and pretend like, gee, I never heard that before. Now, there's a reason why that we eat these kinds of foods, you know, like ho-hos, ding-dongs, Twinkies, bacon and eggs, and McDonald's grease burgers. We eat them because they taste good. That's the bottom line. We go to the whorehouse because it feels real good. Bottom line. We smoke because it feels real good. We drink. We take drugs because it feels real good. But just because it feels good doesn't mean that it's good for us. Now, most of us would like to live to be old, old men. Fortunately, I've lived to be 70. Now, shortly, I'm going to become a free agent. And then my guarantee for 70 years is gonna be up here pretty shortly. And then I can die any time. But until you're 70 years old, you can't die. People do not die before they are 70 years old. That's 25,550 days by law, by contract. Now, there's a little caveat that goes with that. If you practice the Ten Commandment model. It isn't just the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have 759 supporting statutes. 759. They're divided into 133 laws or subjects. And you practice those and you'll live to be 70. Now, I lived to be 70 and I did not practice those. And my granny didn't practice those and lived to be 87 or 88. It is true, John D. Rockefeller didn't practice them, and he lived to be 92. You don't have to practice the Ten Commandments to live past 70. My point was, you're guaranteed that you won't die at age 42, 36, or 59 if you practice these laws. Now, if you don't practice them, you might live to be 70 or you might not. Bottom line. So now, if we want to learn from our mistakes, we ought to learn from the mistakes of others. And see if we can't put two and two together and add this up. Now, you probably, if you're like I am, you know, you'd like to live to be 75 years old or 80 or 85. Hell, I'd like to be 110. And I'll bet you when I get to be 108, I'm going to sit there and say, well, I wouldn't mind living to be 118 or 128. So, I don't know of anybody that was ever ready to die. My grandmother, you know, she didn't want to die at age 88. She would have just as soon lived to be 98. Now, if you want to live to be a, you know, old age, you want to live to be old and full of years. Some people do, some people don't. But there's some certain things that we could learn here that might give us an edge. And these clean and unclean meats are a part and parcel to that. You learn from other people's mistakes. Now, my granddad died at age 61. Hell of a nice guy. Everybody loved him. He was a great fellow. But he died at age 61, and he died of a massive heart attack. You know, they cut him open. And they said, oh, my God, look at this guy's heart. He had a massive heart attack, and that killed him. And the question arises, well, how could we live without having this heart attack? What causes heart attack? Now, right away, somebody's going to say, well, cholesterol. You know, you got all this cholesterol that plugged up your arteries over here. How come you got this atherosclerosis? How'd you get this plaque in your arteries? Where'd that come from? Came from fat. Came from saturated fat. And so, there's a statute in the Bible. It's in Leviticus 3, verse 17. It says, you shall eat no manner of fat. Talking about animal fat. You know, don't eat the fat. And then there's some other statutes that says don't eat these particular animals. pigs and rabbits, you know, and rats, and, you know, there's some things here you shouldn't eat. Now, by eating those, what happens is that you're taking into your body toxins, and they have an action and a reaction. The action is tastes real good, feels real good going down. The toxic reaction is it's a poison, gives you acid indigestion, or worse, plugs up your arteries and veins, or. And then at some point in time, you have a heart attack or a stroke or something, you have side effects from it, and then you die. So there's a lesson to be learned here, and it comes from Revelation. Now, we should have learned this from experience, but we don't. For instance, from experience, we know that smoking increases your risk for heart attack and stroke, but we don't quit smoking. When I was a kid, we used to call cigarettes coffin nails, and so somebody, you know, when you're 19, you've got eternal life, and we're going to live forever. And so you say to your buddy, hey, David, give me one of those coffin nails. We used to call them coffin nails. Hey, light up my coffin nail, would you? Now, we knew, hell, even at age 19, 18, 17, we knew, we'd been told, we read Reader's Digest, for crying out loud. But it feels real good, see? And so what we're looking for is this momentary pleasure. And what we're saying to ourselves is, well, I'm going to quit smoking. I have to quit smoking or it's going to kill me. But I'm not going to quit now at 19. I'll wait until I'm 29 or 39 or 49 or 59. Unfortunately, by the time you get to be 59, 69, you know, you're hooked and you can't quit. And so, you know, you ultimately kill yourself, and then everybody's crying and they're all sad. They go to your funeral and they're all sad and bummed out because, you know, Roy died at age 44, and why did God let that happen? God didn't have anything to do with it. God didn't strike you dead at age 44 because you were eating pig. Hell, you did it to yourself. I met a guy here one time from Texas. He's a farmer. And we were in class, and we were talking about law, and the subject of unclean meat came up, and so I said pig is unclean, and we discussed pig a little bit, and he got kind of indignant. He wasn't religious by any stretch of the imagination, you know. He just said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. Hell, no, we don't tell people what to eat, and we don't care. I mean, if you want to. Filipinos, they think wharf rats and rat is good food. Hell, I'm not here to tell you Filipinos not to eat rat. I don't care. But I'd be remiss if I didn't point out to you that the creator of the universe tells you not to eat them. And there's an experience that we've had. We know that when you eat these kinds of things, you get infectious diseases like cholera and all kinds of bacteria, bubonic plague, you know, things like that, that are passed by rats because they're unclean, because they're a dirty little varmint, and they have diseases. But it doesn't mean you're going to get it every time. Hell, people go to whorehouses all the time, but they don't get gonorrhea every time they go in. You don't get AIDS every time. You know, but it's the risk that you're running. That's why they say you got a risk factor, you know. When you smoke, your risk factor goes up. My grandmother smoked, you know, from the time she was 18 to 88. Well, 85. She couldn't light up anymore after she was 85. She had a stroke. And when she couldn't light up anymore, well, she had to quit. Not because she wanted to, but because she just physically couldn't strike a match anymore. And that was the end of that. She didn't die of a heart attack. She died of stroke. See? She didn't have cancer. She smoked all those years, and she never did get lung cancer. John Wayne did, but she didn't. Now, the guys that are selling cigarettes, you know, they come along and they remember for years and years they said, hell, we deny that cancer and cigarettes have any connecting link, and furthermore, we deny that cigarettes cause cancer. Remember that? For years and years they said that. Now, of course, they've come to a different conclusion. and that the cigarette industry knew better, and that they were lying to us all the time, and that they were lying to us, and they knew they were lying, and then they settled, you know, for billions of dollars. And while I'm on that, hey, let's learn a lesson from this. Did you think that the tobacco company, when they made that $257 billion settlement, and that they were getting punished for selling you cigarettes? No, that wasn't a punishment. That was a blessing. The government came in and said, hey, listen, we want to buy votes, and then you want to sell cigarettes. Let's work together. And let's do both. Let's sell cigarettes and let's buy votes. And here's the way we'll do it. You come in and plead guilty and say, hey, these cigarettes cause cancer. And we'll fine you $257 billion, let you pay it over time. And then you go out and raise the price of cigarettes from 50 cents a pack to a dollar a pack and put an extra 50 cents in your pocket and then give us 25 cents of that. And that'll pay the $257. So you get $257 and we get $257. And the consumers out there get the shaft. How's that for a plan? I thought it was a hell of a neat program, and it worked like a shot. And that's what they're doing here with this bailout plan here for the banks. You know, the banks cause this, and then they get rewarded. And they get rewarded by you. You know, the guys that they're shafting are the guys that they get to charge the money to. So I just thought I'd point that out to you and pass it on. Now, we do the same thing here with foods, you know. Let's take Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage. See, the government comes in here and they say to you, why don't you eat some Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage? They're licensed, bonded, and insured, and on top of that, they're FDA approved. God comes along and he's not FDA approved, so what he says probably don't amount to a whole hill of beans, but he told you not to eat that stuff. He didn't tell you why, just don't eat it. Now, science comes in on the scene here. See, and the scientists, they look at this, and they come to a conclusion too, you know. And the conclusion is that human beings don't have enough hydrochloric acid to break it down and digest this stuff in your stomach. Now, dogs and buzzards do. So the dogs and the buzzards, they don't die when they're eating rats and when they're eating, you know, critters out here. But people do. And the people don't know why, because it tastes real good. See, it puts salt and sugar on it, and God, it just tastes real good. And then on top of that, they tell you that it's FDA approved. And so, you know, FDA approved means that, well, it must be good for you because it's approved by the government. Now, I told you in the last program, the government's your bitter enemy. The government is not your friend. Never has been, isn't now, and isn't going to be. The government is out here to make money. They're actually out here making money off of you. And they make money by selling tobacco products. They license the guys that do that. And then they tax it because it feels real good. Okay, and that's, after all, that's your standard, your test, your litmus test here is, does it taste good? And if it tastes good, then it must be good for me. Now, Revelation, though, tells us something different. And furthermore, experimentation and experience tells us something different. But we don't learn from that. People have been smoking, boys and girls, for hundreds of years, probably thousands of years, haven't learned jack diddly squat. Haven't learned a thing. So I point this out. Can you and I learn something from it? Now, I smoked for 9 years, and it's kind of tough to quit. I don't deny that. But once you take a look at it and you say to yourself, you know, the government over here is actually encouraging me to smoke. They tell me that they're opposed to smoking. They tell me that I shouldn't smoke. They tell me that they're spending money and they're trying to protect the health of the public out here. But actions speak louder than words. And Jesus made an observation one time. He said, you'll know them by their fruits. It's not their much speaking that identifies who and what they are. It's their fruits. What are they actually doing? That's what will tell you where the rubber meets the road. All right, now the religious people come in here. I say religious people, not necessarily you guys going to church, but the preachers and the teachers and the guys that are out here, you know, that are promoting religion. the guys that are selling it, you know, the muckety mucks. And they call themselves Christians. Now, they're criminals, what they are. Christian. I call them Christian criminals. And they don't have a monopoly on crime. The Buddhists do the same thing, and so do the Muslims and all the rest. And they're out here selling religion. See, and this religion over here is a criminal activity. Criminal. Criminal, because it's violating the law. Well, what law are they violating? They're violating the law of the God of the creation of the universe, the creator of the universe. That's the law they're violating. And then oftentimes they support government and government programs, or they keep silent about the evils that are going on around them. Let's take a look. If we take a look at the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, when you ask somebody, are you a communist? That's almost fighting words. Hey, are you gay? You know, that's almost fighting words. But communism is a program that's been around for thousands of years. Time was when they called it the Babylonian mystery religion. Today we call it Roman Catholicism. We call it Christianity. Now, before you get real mad at me and write me an email and tell me what a jerk I am, listen up here. Let me show you something. Second plank to the Communist Manifesto. Here's what it says. It says a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Are you practicing a heavy, graduated, or progressive income tax? Nearly everybody in the world does. Nearly. Not everybody, but nearly. And here in the United States, we practice this heavy, progressive income tax. In fact, as I speak today, it's April 15th. This is income tax day. People are out here busily getting their income tax done so they can get it in the mail, get it postmarked before midnight, April the 15th, so that they can participate in this heavy progressive income tax. Now, in the Bible, we're told to tithe, and we're told to tithe to God. We don't. We're paying our income tax to our God, the United States of America, or Australia, or New Zealand, or China, or wherever you live. And there's the second plank. Now, can you tell me what church, what Christian sect or denomination where the preacher gets up and says, or the catechism tells you, or somebody else says, hey, wait a minute, this income tax is a crime. It's a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. It violates the tithing statute. It's idolatry. And we ought not to do that. In fact, the churches, not all, but most of them are 501c3 tax exempt. So they participate. They go into the IRS and they get a license from this agency called the Internal Revenue Service here in the United States so that they don't have to pay taxes and that you can take a tax deduction when you give them money. The churches, along with the government, are working in concert to violate this tithing law that we see in, say, Malachi 3, verse 8. Criminal activity. Let's try another one. You know, your central bank, the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto, calls for centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. This violates thou shalt not steal and violates you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. They give us this fiat currency so they can steal with us through inflation. Tax us through the second plank called the income tax. And then, do you hear your preacher get up on Sunday morning and say, now listen, this centralization of credit in the hands of the state is a crime. And you ought not to do that, and you ought to use gold and silver coin, and we ought to deal in just weights and balances and obey God and keep His commandments. That'll be a cold day in hell when you hear that coming out of a Christian preacher's mouth. Now, you know that as well as I do. Now, what can we do to learn from that? No. Well, do you want to continue supporting the criminals and the crime? Has it occurred to you that maybe you should stop practicing this kind of crime? You know, just in your own self-interest. Going back, has it ever occurred to you to stop smoking? Not because it doesn't feel good, but because it's in your self-interest to stop smoking. It's in your self-interest to quit paying this income tax. It's in your self-interest to close your bank account and deal in gold and silver coin. It's in your best interest to tear up your credit cards, send them back, and stop using credit and paying interest and usury. That it's just in your self-interest to obey God and keep His commandments. Now, your government and your Christian preacher, he's out here, he's encouraging you to violate the law of God. He wants you to violate these laws. Let's try number 10 here. It calls for free public education for all children in public school. Listen to this. Free education for all children in public school, abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, and the combination of education with industrial production. Combination of education. See, the reason they want to educate you in public school and educate you in college is because they can tax you. Makes more money. So we want to combine education to make futile workers to work in the marketplace, in the economy, for the benefit of government and industry. Has it ever occurred to you to drop out of that and go work for yourself? I know it's a wild new idea, but, you know, tell General Motors to stick it where there's no daylight and you go out and start buying, selling, and trading in the marketplace in gold and silver coin, and just keep everything that you make instead of sending off a third of it to the government. And I say a third, that's if you're at the low end. See, if you're just paying Social Security and income tax in this country, it takes a third. And if you're in Europe, it probably takes 50, 60%. I know it's kind of a wild new idea, but I thought I'd throw it out there and see if we can't learn from our mistakes. Hell, we've been making this mistake for years and years. And it's been going on for thousands of years, and nobody's ever learned from it yet. So whether you call this the Babylonian mystery religion, or Mithraism, or Christianity, or communism, or capitalism, you know, hang whatever label on it makes you feel good. But the bottom line is, you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their practices. So when you see people paying the income tax using fiat paper currency and sending their kids to public school, then you can see that these guys are communists. Well, you know, if that's what you want, stick with the program. Hell, you're already there. But if you're not satisfied, can we learn from our mistakes? We've already done that, been there, done that. Maybe it's time to make a change. Have you thought about that? Eighth plank calls for equal liability of all to labor and the establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. All right, the establishment of an industrial army is called Social Security. It's an army of workers nationwide that have a Social Security number and have declared themselves incompetent and unable to manage their own financial affairs, and so they've applied to government for a guardian. It's a guardian-ward relationship. And it also, since 1964, ties you into the income tax. It's your taxpayer identification number. Has anybody ever thought about resigning from Social Security? They call it, in this country, the third rail of politics. Anybody that suggests that you drop out of Social Security or abolish Social Security or change its benefits, oh, we're going to vote you out of office. Well, listen, I'm not running for public office. I don't belong to Social Security. I did, and I dropped out. I left the money there behind. I'm glad I did. Saved me money from that point on. I'm happy as a clam at high tide, and I don't draw any benefits. So could you put your mind to it. My point is that the Christian church supports all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they do it in their own self-interest. They're in bed with the government. The government's not your friend. And they've already demonstrated that to you. If by taking $12.8 trillion of your money and giving it to the bankers who caused this depression to start with is doing you a favor, stick with it. Give them another. Hey, listen, if $13 trillion is good, don't you think $26 trillion would be gooder? Why don't you give them $26 trillion? And then while you're at it, ask yourself, how does this pay my mortgage? How does giving Bank of America $47 billion pay my mortgage payment this month? Come on, kids. Let's wake up and smell the coffee here and learn from our mistakes. And giving more tax money to public officials just encourages them. So there's a little part to the story that I thought I'd share with you. Now, I mentioned this thing of paper currency. Do you remember that? Paper currency. I did that in the last program. I said Massachusetts issued 7,000 pounds of printed bills of equal value with money. And then South Carolina, 1703, enacted that not only its new emission of paper bills for 6,000 pounds should be a good payment and tender in law, but that whosoever should refuse them should forfeit double the value of the bills refused. And for a short time, from June of 1716, the fine was treble the value. Make up your mind, that's coming again. See, they've given us this phony baloney money. And then pretty soon, when this money inflates itself, which it will in about another 12 to 18 months, then we get into this thing of hyperinflation, and it wipes everybody out. Wipes all the goods off the shelves, and then we have poverty. And then guess what? When you have the temerity to say, I'm not going to accept that worthless paper anymore because it's worthless, then they'll fine you, take your property away from you. This is government now. They're going to pass righteous laws. You know, these pseudo-sanctimonious righteous laws. And you can bet that your pulpit parrots will be up there telling you, now obey all the laws of the government. That's good. Jesus will love you for it. And nobody's been able to figure that out. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. There's a lot of irreligious people out there that have figured out that religion, you know, is your problem, not your solution. And my point is, religion and government work together because they're like a symbiotic relationship between a pilot fish and a shark's tooth. And then the reason they're doing what they're doing is because it benefits them. But does that benefit you? That's the bottom line. Does it benefit you? The answer is no, it doesn't. In fact, it costs you a bunch. Hey, let me remind you here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we're giving don't mean that the authors and publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and their publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about learning from our mistakes. Mistakes are out there, and they're plentiful. We don't seem to learn very much from them. We don't learn much from the deaths of other people that we see around us, from cancer, lung cancer, etc. That doesn't motivate very many people to quit smoking. They generally believe, well, that happened to Tom, but it isn't going to happen to me. Now, when it does happen to you, then you're kind of looking around going, why did God allow this to happen to me? Because I go to church every week. There was a guy one time that I knew years ago. His name was Wegner. Hans Wegner. Boy, did he get on me. And he said, no, it's not Hans, it's Hans. Hans, he's a German guy. See? Hans. H-A-N-S. But in Germany, that's pronounced Hans. And a hell of a nice guy. You know, he just a great man. And I really liked him. But he got cancer one day. And so he was a religious guy. And so he went to the elders of his church. And he said, now, I want you to lay hands on me and do all these things that people do when they get religious. And heal me of this disease. And so they did, and time went by, and the man died. The man died. He died of cancer. He had cancer. Now, instead of going to the doctors and have them cut it out and one thing and another, he went to the elders of the church and had them anoint him with oil and pray over him. And this went on for a long time, 6 months or a year or 2 years, I don't know. Must have been a year or two. He lasted for a long time. He was getting skinnier and skinnier and poorer and poorer. And finally, he just finally got so sick he couldn't leave the house. And then he died, and we all felt bad. So there you are. Now, here's a lesson to be learned. When you get cancer, and you want to go to the elders of the church and get anointed and prayed over and one thing and another, you can just about put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye because it's about over for you. Now, if these same people would take a look here in the Bible, they would find that very same story. There's two stories here in the Scripture where God says, you know, in that day, you're going to cry out to me, and I will not hear you. I don't know where these religious people are, but they're not tuned in to the Bible. They're tuned into religion, but they're not tuned in very well to the Creator. You'll find that very statement over here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. He said, you know, in that day, after you get through with this political experiment, you're going to cry out to me in that day, and I won't hear you. There's another place that I can't think of the spot here in the Scripture right off the top of my head, but he made the same statement again. And he said, you know, you're gonna cry out to me in that day. You're going to pray mightily, and then I'm not going to hear you. And I'm not going to answer you. So just as a law school instructor, you know, I just sit here and say, well, okay, I got the message, boss. So I got cancer here some time back. It was on my jaw. And so I remembered that. Now, my mind got cured. It was kind of bad, and I felt kind of bad about it. And I said, well, maybe it's all over for me. But the thing that was a little bit different in my case than Hans, I didn't go to the elders of the church. I didn't have anybody pray over me. I didn't have any oil. I already watched. I've been watching this for years and years. I've been watching the faith healers and all the rest of them. I said, well, hell. And then I said, well, should I go to the medical doctors? Could they heal me, maybe? Well, they can 37% of the time. Statistically, you go to the medical doctors, and 37%. And I had a lady over here. Her name's Kathy Smith. God love her. I'm telling you, she was civic-minded. She was the heart and soul of the, they used to call it Sadie Hawkins Day. But here it's called Ozark County. They got a name for this. Hooting and hollering. Hooting and hollering here in Ozark County. And she was just right in there, you know, handling that hooting and hollering thing for years and years. And God love her. Everybody around here just thought the world of her. Young woman, you know, in her 40s. You know, I don't think she's 50 yet, but she might have been. But she, and she got cancer. And now my wife had cancer. She's had cancer now since 1978. Still does. Still does. She's had cancer now for 30 years. And she did a little combination. She went to the medical doctors for part of it, and then she got off of that. She never did go to the faith healers, but she did get off of the medical doctors. Now, 37% of the time, the medical doctors, if they don't kill you within 5 years, call it a cure. And God love them. And Lance Armstrong, you know, he went to the doctors, and by God, they cured him. And it does work, and I don't deny that. It's one of the 14 cures, chemotherapy and cut, burn, and poison. It's one of the 14 cures to cancer. But it works 37% of the time, and 63% of the time you die. And 37% of the time, they call it a cure if you live for 5 years. So 37 is phony, and 63 is pretty damn accurate, but it's low. So I looked at that, and I said, you know, can I learn anything from the mistakes of haunts? Can I learn anything from Kathy Smith? Can I learn from the people that are around me? So I said, hey, I went to my wife and I said, hey, lady, now you've had cancer for 30 years and you're still alive. What are you doing that's different from Wegner, different from Smith? And so she said, well, come on in here. Sit down. Let me explain it to you. So my wife explained it to me, and she told me about metabolism. She told me about toxins and detoxification and nutrients. And then she said, you know, all that sugar and all those cigarettes you smoked for years and years and all that sugar you eat and all that crappy food, that's what gives you cancer. And now you got it. And you, my boy, are the proximate cause of your own injury. And I looked at that and I said, by God, that woman's right. You know, I gave that cancer to myself. I'm the guy that did it. It wasn't God that struck me down with cancer. It wasn't the fates. It wasn't the gods. It was George Gordon. I did it. All by myself. Every time I lit up one of them coffin nails, I just kept poisoning myself and poisoning myself. And then I ate a lot of pig. God, that tasted good. Especially Italian dry salami. God, I ate it and ate it and ate it. I pigged out on it. And I did it for years and years and years. And it had a cumulative effect. And then one day, I woke up and I had this lump on my jaw. I said, what in the hell is this? And so we looked at it and we watched it grow. Watched it grow, and I said, oh, my God, look what's coming now. Now, let me tell you, I wouldn't tell you not to pray, because I did too, but I did a little bit different. I went over and I knelt down and I said, you know, I got cancer here. Father, I got cancer, and it isn't your fault, and it's my fault, and there ain't no need for me crying on your shoulder, because you already told me you ain't going to listen. You know, you already told me I made my bed, now go sleep in. I said, okay, I hear you. I got the message loud and clear. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn from this mistake. I made a god-awful mistake, and a bunch of them. Now, I'm going to change that. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit eating this, that, and another thing. I'm going to start eating more of this. Now, cancer is a degenerative disease, and it's caused by, now get this, write this down, If you didn't get anything out of today's program, write this down. Disease has two causes, just two. This is easy to master. You don't have to have a college education here. Either number one, you're starving. S-T-A-R-V-I-N-G. Starving. You don't have enough vitamin A. You don't have enough of vitamin B17. You don't have enough vitamin C. You're missing, and while you got starving written down, or just put equal signs, 92 elements. Can you do that? Starving equals 92 elements. And there's a guy by the name of Dr. Joel Wallach. Joel Wallach. Just go to the internet, do a Google search on Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. And he put out a tape or a book or a story here on Dead Doctors Don't Lie. God, you'll love it. You'll love it. I like this guy, Wallach, because he's got some common sense. I mean, this guy can actually walk, talk, and chew gum all at the same time. Walk, talk, and chew gum all at the same time. He says there's 92 elements that you have to maintain good health. And if you're missing one of those, you got 91, but you're missing one, you're going to have symptoms from that one missing element. So you people out there that have multiple symptoms, you have multiple vitamin and mineral deficiencies. There's also 16 amino acids. Out of this 92, you got so many minerals, so many vitamins, and so many amino acids. I remember that there were 16 amino acids. Hey, if you got 15 amino acids and you're missing one, uh-oh, going to have symptoms. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. You might get muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis. You might get scurvy. No, if you're missing vitamin C, you get scurvy. You're missing vitamin E, you get something else, and so on. That's all you're dealing with, starvation. One more. Toxins, poison. So underneath starving, write poison. Okay, now write an equal sign over there. Could be white sugar. You're poisoning yourself with white sugar. Maybe it's aspartame. There's 91 or 2 or so, I think it's 92 symptoms that you get from aspartame. Did you know that? That's the artificial sweetener that they put in your Diet Coke. 92 symptoms. From just that one poison. Okay. Now, there's one more little factoid that might be good for you here we can learn from. There's a thing called the Physician's Desk Reference. The PDR. The Physician's Desk Reference. So, when you go to your medical doctor and you say, I've got a runny nose, he goes to the desk reference and it says, and he looks up runny nose, and then it says, well, here's how many different patented diseases you might have, you know, like heart attack, stroke, muscular dystrophy, Hansen's disease. And so he looks at your symptoms and then he matches those up. All right. Now, what he's trying to figure out here is how much can he charge you? How much can he charge you? He doesn't have a cure, but there's about 450 diseases. And these diseases are recorded. They're copyrighted. They're patented. Like muscular dystrophy, that's a patented disease. And that's why I can't treat you for muscular dystrophy, because that's a patent that belongs to somebody. It's like selling Coca-Cola. See, I can't sell you Coca-Cola. I can sell you Gordon Cola. Would you like to have a Gordon Coke today? I can sell you that. Coca-Cola is licensed. It's patented. Pepsi-Cola, patented. Royal Crown Cola, patented. See, and all we're dealing with here is it's just money. It's nothing personal. So getting back here to our diseases, I came down with this cancer. And I said, oh, my God, now what am I going to do? So here's what I did. I started feeding myself. and I stopped poisoning myself, and the cancer went away. So simple that is. If Hans Wegener had started feeding himself and stopped poisoning himself, he probably wouldn't be alive today, because he was already an old man at that time. But, he was an old man. He was 40 at the time. And, when you're 20 and some guy's 40. He's an old man, you know. Kathy Smith across the road. Had she come across the road here, it's less than a mile, she could have come across the road and said, she could have said, Jackie, now everybody in this community knows that you've had cancer for many, many years, and you're still alive. Would you tell me, your neighbor, what do you do? What do you know about cancer that the rest of us don't know? And my wife would have said, well, sit down over here, girlie, and let me explain this to you. And she would have told Kathy Smith the same story that she told me. You did this to yourself. You are the proximate cause of your own injury. Now, if you can learn from your mistakes, you can probably correct those. Now, if you're sick and you're diseased, you can learn from your mistakes. You're not the first guy to get cancer. And you ain't going to be the last. My granddad was not the first guy to die from a massive heart attack, and he wasn't the last. Now, let me tell you a little story here. All the Gordons die from heart attacks. I say all of them. Uncle Al, you know, Uncle Ed, my granddad. Now, my dad didn't die from a heart attack. He died from a broken neck in a car wreck, but when they did the autopsy on him, they said he was going to have a heart attack. He was not going to live to be 70. He was on short time when he died at age 53. My dad was on short time, just like all the Gordons. Now, my dad smoked. My dad drank. My dad ate pig. He's a worldly fellow. He was a good guy. Everybody loved him. You know, everybody loves an Errol Flynn. You know, everybody loves a Humphrey Bogart. Everybody loves a Winton Gordon. But that's because they're worldly. Hell, these people, they're just real nice guys. They're smoking and drinking and chasing the girls and pinching them on the butt, and everybody loves them. Unfortunately, they all die in their 50s or 60s because they're out here breaking these laws. They can't learn from the mistakes of people that have gone before. They're too busy having fun. I don't deny that the whorehouse is fun, and I don't deny that cigarettes feel good, and I don't deny that drugs feel good. I'm just telling you that just because it feels good don't make it good. And for practical purposes, most of you people listening to me right now probably will not be able to change your habits and save your lives. That's the experience that we've been watching for generations and thousands of years. Hell, generations, hundreds and thousands of years. People can't quit smoking, drinking, chasing the wild women, and eating good food. They just can't give it up. And it's killing them. And they can't learn from their mistakes. So then the only solution is they have to learn with their mistakes or from their mistakes. Now, I'm not an evangelist, and I'm not out here trying to get you to give your heart to Jesus. See, I'm not trying to get you to quit smoking. I don't care if you smoke or not. I'm not trying to get you to give up the whorehouse and the good life. Hell, it's your choice in life. My point is, I think that somebody ought to tell you about the other side of the coin. I think somebody ought to step up the plate here and say, no, wait a minute, guys. Hey, wait a minute. When you come down with cancer, don't blame God, and he didn't do it to you. And when old Roy died from a heart attack, you know, this guy, this Texan, came up here, and he said, he's a Texas farmer is what he was, he said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. Well, 2 years after he left school here, he died from a massive heart attack. Had a heart attack, old Roy. And his wife called here, and she was crying. She was in tears, and she said, I thought you might want to know that Roy died, had a heart attack, and blah, blah, blah. And she's crying. She's sad, and one thing and another. And, you know, callous, crude, and insensitive that I am, I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, which I was. I wasn't happy that Roy died, but Roy had said to me, he said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. And I said, well, I hope that he died happy. He told me that nobody was going to tell him what to eat. And when I suggested that he give up pork fat and shellfish, he told me nobody's going to tell me what to eat. And so I hope he was having a good time. But it's the natural, inevitable end that comes from people that break that law, the clean and unclean meat law. See? Now, my dad, my granddad, and I violated that law for years and years. You know, all that changed was I learned from their mistakes. So I looked at my granddad and I said, I don't want to have a heart attack. So I quit smoking. I quit drinking, you know, the way I did. I used to drink a little extra. I drank enough and then I drank a little extra, you know, make sure that I had enough. Okay. So I took a look at that and I said, hey, that's probably not a good plan. I think I'll quit. I didn't quit drinking, now. Don't get me wrong. I just said, I think I'll quit drinking so much. And I smoked for a long time. Well, you know, feels real good, and I think I'll quit that. And then I got off the fat, blood, and the unclean foods. And then with the, now, I'm the first Gordon. Well, last one we knew about died in 1898. I'm the first Gordon since 1898 to live to be 70 years old in my side of the Gordon family. I'm the first one. All right. Now, I learned from the mistakes of my granddad and great-granddad and uncles and aunts and so on, and so can you. And if you do that, it might come down and save your life and make you some money. You know, if you save your life, it'll make you some money. More importantly, take this insurance thing. Insurance now here in the United States is running about $1,000 a month. This is health insurance. $1,000 a month. I don't pay any health insurance at all. None. Zero. Zilch. I'm one of the 44 million Americans living without adequate health insurance coverage. Adequate? Hell, I don't have any. Furthermore, I'm not looking for any, don't want any, and I certainly don't want any of you taxpayers out there to be spending any of your money on my health care insurance. Now, President Obama wants you to do that. He thinks that George Gordon ought to have health insurance, and he wants you to pay that bill. I'm telling you, I don't want you to pay that bill. I want you to take that money and spend it on your wife, would you? Don't spend it on me. Go buy your own health insurance. See, I don't need it. Now that I quit eating pig and quit smoking, I don't need it. Now, for all of you people out there that are eating pig, eating fat, and smoking, by God, you need health insurance. And I think if I was you, I would vote the straight Democratic ticket. I'd be writing letters to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid telling them, hey, wake up. I need health insurance. Makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? Because if you're going to break these laws, you're going to get sick, and sickness is very expensive, costs a bunch of money. Now, the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and Christianity go hand in hand. And you know, sickness and disease in Christianity goes hand in hand also. And that's because the Christian pulpit parrots are not telling you people out there, hey, wake up, let's learn from our mistakes. Let's pay attention. The Christian pulpit parrots are sitting up there saying, we don't know what causes disease. We just can't figure it out. And, oh, we just wish we could. Now, either they're lying to you, or two, they're stupid. Either lying or stupid. Hell, you know what's causing cancer. You know that smoking causes cancer. You just can't quit smoking because it feels so good. You know where AIDS comes from. All you sodomites out there, hey, you know where AIDS comes from. And you know where diseases come from, and you know where short longevity of life comes from. The average sodomite dies at age 45, unless he dies from age, in which case AIDS, in which case it's 39. So I'm not telling you something that you don't already know. I'm just reminding you that it's time that we learn from our mistakes. Hey, I'm about out of time here again, kids. We're going to have to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.